Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the jaywalker of free speech, because they don't care about no walk and don't walk sign. It just don't care. It is going to walk freely. It's going to talk freely. Hey, if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, it must taste delicious. Actually, I'd say that as somebody who doesn't eat duck. But Cato, have you ever eaten duck?
Oh, yeah. Remember that one movie, A Christmas Story, by was Gene Shepard? He was the narrator, 1980s.
Oh, of course.
When the family accidentally burns the turkey, they go to the Chinese restaurant and they eat duck. Yeah?
Yeah.
It's delicious. It's just like that. I mean, man, we're less than a week from Christmas Day. And December has flown by really fast. I'd say for me, December has felt like the fastest month of all the 12 months. I guess they say when you enjoy a month better or you enjoy time better, it tends to go by faster. So, yeah, wow, one week till Christmas. Well, I hope everybody is getting ready. You know, it's more than just gifts and shopping and material, you know, consumerism. It's getting together with family, you know, celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, even if you're not a Christian. That is what Christmas is all about, is celebrating this, you know, hope for humanity, you know, the savior to this world to save humanity. It's the message of Christmas that is important. Yeah, in some areas, you know, the weather is getting colder everywhere. You know, you go to the north, obviously it's much colder than in the south, you know, so much for global warming.
Hey, I'm all into the global warming.
What?
I'm all into the global warming.
Yeah, but you know, either way, just not this global warming that they're pushing.
not what they're pushing. The people who's pushing this, they don't understand, or they're just maliciously using it. I don't have time for global warming because I'm too busy fighting for the existence of the human race. You know, we're facing World War III. We're facing, in this country, massive replacement level immigration. We've got all these problems that are in our face. And, to the extent we have the global warming problem, the stuff that they're talking about as solutions aren't solutions. The stuff that they're talking about as solutions are simply further attacks on us. So,
it's an attack on, you know, white Western Christian civilization.
Yeah. But I do think there's global warming, and I do think it's potentially a problem for humanity, but, we can't deal with that while we've got this frontal assault on us as a people, but also, you know, an assault on, like, civilization in general.
Not only that too, but when they say global warming, we know it's not about, you know, it's not about, oh, we have to limit our fossil fuels or our carbon from, no, it's all about control. That's the key word, control. Just these liberal leftist billionaires, they don't give a damn about how much carbon that they're putting out, and I mean, with their expensive private jets going to the WEF and everything, it's like, they don't give a damn about that, they just want to control. It's all about control.
Well, there's a control aspect to it. But you know, if you actually read, for instance, the AOC, Green New Deal, which wasn't the original Green New Deal, she didn't come up with the idea. She doesn't come up with ideas because she's an airhead. But if you look at the, resolution she introduced into Congress, it's got stuff like, talking about frontline communities, frontline and vulnerable communities, communities of colors, indigenous folks, you know, and the policies, not only do they have to be designed to favor these people, they have to be designed and managed by these people, right? Not by experts, but by indigenous people and immigrants and people of color.
So. Yeah, we've seen how well that's worked in sub-Saharan Africa and in Latin America and then India and, you know, the whole third world.
Yeah, it's not serious. It's simply a means of shifting resources wealth, assets, resources away from the non-favored group and towards a favored group. That's what they're using it for. And if they were serious about the environment, you know, I tell you one thing. I used to be involved in legal stuff. I was involved in some legal stuff regarding utility rates and whatnot. And I'd be on these conference calls with other people who were involved in the electric utility industry. And some of the people on these calls were from like the Sierra Club. They were environmentalists. Some of them were from consumer groups like the AARP. And the thing is, there could be like a real, the environmentalists, this is a long time ago, but the actual environmentalists didn't tend, they tended to emphasize the environment over poor people. The Sierra Club didn't care if, you know, a new power plant might reduce heating costs or electricity costs for poor people. They were concerned about what it was going to do for, you know, river water or whatever. And the AARP, they were all about the poor people, and they didn't care what it was going to do to the, you know, the birds and the fish in the rivers. And so there are very different interests. And, you know, what you're seeing here, this kind of, what's happened is the environmental movement really got hijacked by the social justice movement. And there's not really an environmental movement anymore. The Sierra Club, for one, which used to be anti-immigration, explicitly anti-immigration, because it was thought we had too many people in America, it got hijacked, and it's very transparent what happened. Their number one donor said, if you don't change your stance on immigration, I'm never giving you another penny. It was very transparent what happened.
Let me guess, the number one donor was BlackRock.
No, the number one donor was this Jew. I forgot his name, but it was in the 1990s. And if you just do a Google search or Joogle search or, you know, Yandex or whatever, but you do a search for, what was I talking about? The Sierra Club and immigration. You'll find the story. It was, you know, it was widely written about in the 1990s, and you'll see how they went.
It was Jewish, the main donor.
Yeah, he was a big Jew.
Okay.
A big money Jew.
No surprise there then.
Yeah, he was from the from Wall Street. He's a Wall Street Jew.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, by the way, I haven't done. I'm not done shilling for RBN. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button and send the badly needed fundage. Okay. So one thing I wanted to deal with somewhat today, and I've already recorded a show for Thursday with Philbert, and I talk about it some on that, but honestly, that was a little bit more off the top of my head, and I've gone back and I've listened to this. So there's from a news site or a website called Real, I think it's called Real News. I was just looking at it. They did some video on the World Economic Forum, and Barron played this clip on his show on Saturday. And, you know, on one hand, like, it's like the World Economic Forum is, and Klaus Schwab is a nefarious individual. People like Bill Gates are nefarious individuals. On the other hand, my position, oh, and not Real News. It's called Your News. And my position is that if you have somebody telling you who's running the world, and they don't mention Jews in any way, they don't mention Jewish power, but they're just saying there's this secret group of 38 people who's running the world, but they're not mentioning Jewish power, be skeptical. But I had you listen to this clip. What were your impressions?
Well, I mean, it's you know, I'm not saying most of what the guy says is wrong, because, I mean, clearly, you know, the freaks at the World Economic Forum, they are a bunch of freaks, and I mean, they're absolute nut, you know, psychotic nut jobs. what they are. And, you know, and a lot of what the guy said, you know, I mean, the guy that's exposing them, not what the guys at the World Economic Forum said, the guy that, the, whoever this channel, this host that's exposing them, I mean, he was right, you know, a lot of these freaks and what they want to do, I mean, it's what they want to do is what Vladimir Putin described as pure Satanism. Essentially, you know, this transhumanist garbage about being able to hack minds and all this crap. I mean, it is satanic, and obviously, you know, they themselves want to be, you know, gods themselves, you know, just kind of like if you're a Christian, you know, the serpent said to, you can be just like, you know, as God yourself. That's what these satanic freaks want at the WEF. But the thing is, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, she didn't mention who these people were, you know. Mm. These were Jews, primarily, that are behind the WEF. I mean, you know, he talks about Klaus Schwab, and then he talks about Klaus Schwab, who's the brains behind Klaus Schwab. And it's this this homosexual Jew, this Israeli homosexual Jew, not just any Jew, an Israeli Jew. From
Israeli homosexual Jew, yeah.
Who,
three-time loser.
A what?
Three-time loser?
Yeah,
three-time. Are we allowed to say that?
Three-time loser. Yeah. Israeli homo Jew. I mean, yeah, all three of the worst of the worst of the worst. That's what they, yeah, he's the worst of the worst of the worst. And he's there talking about, you know, like in there he says that, oh yeah, Jesus is fake news, because obviously we know the Jews hate Jesus Christ. This is around Christmas time, so I'm going to, you know, talk more about, you know, Christ and Christianity. But, you know, we know the Jews, they hate Jesus Christ. They want nothing to do with
it. I mean, he said it's fake news. Is it even news that you have some Jews saying that, like, Jesus is fake? I mean, is that even news? Haven't they been saying that for 2,000 years?
Yeah, they've been going on about that for 2,000 years.
And so this guy, I mean, is he saying this because he is a modern age transhumanist WEF person? Or is he saying it because he's a Jew?
It's both. But what got him to that stage, that reprobate stage of being a modern, you know, new age transhumanist Israeli homosexual Jew, was the fact that he hated Jesus Christ as a Jew. That's what God...
And that was not mentioned. These, was not real news. Your news. Your news didn't mention that. So they had this guy. His name is Yuval Noah Harari. Harari. Like, it's like a Ferrari. He's going fast, but he's going fast and somewhere bad.
It's a very Jewish name that you'd see in, like, a Sturmer magazine or something.
Yeah.
Very Jewish name.
Well, then there was Klaus Schwab, and they had Klaus Schwab talking. And this is what this is why it's kind of relevant to the overall theme of this show that we do. The narrator, and I guess this is from a BitChute video or something that was produced by, I guess it was produced by Your News. I'm not, you know, I'm a little bit unsure about this, but the narrator says, Klaus Schwab, you know, the evil Klaus Schwab, he sees as the model for the future, the authoritarian dictatorship of China. And then he has Klaus Schwab, you know, Klaus Schwab is answering some questions, and which had absolutely nothing, it was completely irrelevant to that statement, completely irrelevant, just saying some stuff. And then they just kind of splice in something where he says, China's accomplishments have been remarkable, and certainly China would be a model for many countries, without saying what those accomplishments are. Now, China has remarkable accomplishments. You can't. I don't know if you heard it yet, but I did a little. I did a boomer pass. What do I call it? Boomer vision on my trip to China, and China was very, very poor then, and now. It, you know, you sent me pictures of Chongqing, and it looks like the city in Futurama. I mean, it's just super, super modern. That's an accomplishment, going from third world status to Futurama status. It's an accomplishment, and I think any third world country could look at China as a model. He wasn't saying that he wasn't saying he wanted countries to be authoritarian or dictatorships. And so it was a very spurious. My point is, it's a very spurious connection. When I was a professor, I would get sometimes somebody who would be making a point, and then they would have a footnote. And if you actually went and looked at the footnote, the connection was so vague, if at all. So Klaus Schwab wasn't promoting. He was just saying that China had undeniable accomplishments or remarkable accomplishments. He wasn't saying that this was that he wanted the United States to become authoritarian, although, I mean, he clearly does, but it had nothing to do with the China statement.
Well, here's the thing, though. Being the evil, you know, satanic geezer and possibly Jew, you know, possible Jew that Klaus Schwab is.
I don't think he's Jewish, but he might be. I don't think he is.
But either way, being the evil geezer that he is, I mean, he definitely doesn't want to see nations, you know, thrive and prosper. He wants them to fail, and he wants them to be as impoverished under the oppressive tyranny of the WEF is what he wants. So when Klaus Schwab talks about China, I mean, for one thing, I would think someone like Klaus Schwab would hate China because China is nationalist and China, you know, promotes Chinese values, Chinese identity, you know, Chinese culture, and not, you know, globalist, you know, global home. Let alone global homo, you know, WEF, you know, ideology. So I would think that Klaus Schwab would hate China, but what he could be talking about, though, is about the stereotype, but the fake, you know, baseless claims of China that the West claims China is, you know, that totalitarian system, not the developmental part. So the thing is, you know, if let's just, you know, for argument's sake, let's just assume that China is, you know, very, very, you know, centralized, and it's, you know, very, I mean, it is authoritarian, but let's just assume that it's as draconian as the West says it is. Okay, let's just assume that. Well, the West say they want that system. It's not that they want Chinese culture, Chinese values, it's that they want Chinese system. That caricature system that the West has of China, which is, you know, total control over the population and everything, except not based on Chinese, you know, Confucian, you know, moral values, but based on, you know, being a global homo, you know, gay, anal Bolshevik degenerate who, you know, has to support, you know, child trannies and mutilation, you know, child mutilation and all this sickening satanic evil. That's what the West wants. And you know this too, they say they want the Chinese system, the so-called Chinese, we know it's not the Chinese system, but it's the system they want, you know, just like the other day, you know, just back yesterday, I was talking to a friend of mine talking about how bad the education system is in the U.S. and how it's just completely, you know, failed and destroyed, you know, American children and American families, especially white American families. And, you know, he was saying it's that Prussian model of, you know, centralization. You know, the Prussian education system that came into place in the early 1800s, where it was, you know, public school, everything was centralized. You know, the parents don't have any say in teaching their children and that. Now, you know, I mean, that was Prussia back in the early 1800s. I haven't done enough research to see if that model for Prussia was good or bad. I mean, but clearly that, you know, that central education system here in the U.S. has totally destroyed American people. And, you know, but it's not based on, you know, Prussian, you know, national, you know, ideal. I mean, again, I don't know what Prussia was like in the 1800s, but it was based on, you know, Prussian, you know, social values. It's totally based on this, you know, Bolshevik, you know, gay, anal, global homo, degenerate, you know, crap about teaching your child that, you know, he might be a different gender that he claims that he's born into, and that he can have sex change operations and mutilate himself, and there's a million genders, 6 million genders out there, and white people are the ultimate evil, and then blacks are the ultimate victims. Unless they criticize Jews, then they're just like white supremacists, neo-Nazis, if they criticize Jews.
Now, I'm a product of the public education system from the... Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead.
Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
White people are the ultimate evil, and then blacks are the ultimate victims. Unless they criticize Jews, then they're just like white supremacists, neo Nazis. If they criticize Jews,
Now, I'm a product of the public education system from the 1960s and 70s in America, and I don't recall anything particularly objectionable about what was being taught. In the 60s and 70s, what was actually being taught? We were doing math, we were doing arithmetic, and so what's the most political discipline, the subject, would be history, right, social studies. And it was just kind of like mainstream, you know, George Washington, Lincoln, the stuff. It was just, you know, some people might say, oh, well, they were teaching the Civil War from the point of view of the North, but it wasn't anti-American history. And, you know, the issues like slavery or Indians were dealt with, but it wasn't particularly anti-white. That came later. What if you were to have a complaint about the public school system in the 60s and 70s, you could say it was a vehicle for forced integration. What I don't remember being abused by my teachers intellectually. I do remember being abused by some of my black classmates who were imposed on us. I mean, when I started school, I went to an all-white school at first, and then we had the integration, and then we had these violent blacks come in, and that wasn't very pleasant. But it wasn't what we were being taught. But I want to get back a little bit to the China thing, the China statement. So the implication by the documentary maker was that Klaus Schwab was saying that Klaus Schwab wants to impose Chinese authoritarianism on America. That was the implication. And the actual statement of Klaus Schwab was vague because there was no context to it. But my assumption, you know, it was vague in that he said China had remarkable accomplishments, which it undeniably does. They weren't specified, but obviously lifting, you know, 1.4 billion people from poverty into, very nice middle class lifestyle is an accomplishment. It's a remarkable accomplishment. I assume that's what he was talking about, but there was no reason to assume that this was Klaus Schwab saying, I want to impose Chinese authoritarianism, you know, whether to what extent you believe that that's even a thing or not. You know, it's to an extent a thing, but there's no reason to believe that that's even what he was implying, that he wanted to impose Chinese authoritarianism on the rest of the world. That's wasn't what he was saying, but there was this implication. And the thing is, it was basically a very spurious bringing China into this. And the World Economic Forum, it's way, way overrated in terms of its importance in what's going on in the world. It's just an easy boogeyman to point at by people who are either unwilling or, you know, they're afraid or simply want to distract people away from Jewish power. And so, you know, you had Klaus Schwab. And then there was they brought on this French billionaire who actually doesn't have a Wikipedia page in French. I looked in the French Wikipedia. The guy's name is Philippe Agenier. Is that it? Yeah, Agenier. And I looked it up. I found his name. I found his face. And I did find the biography of him somewhere. He's from I was trying to see if he was Jewish or not. And I don't know if he was Jewish. But he's born in like 1960 or so. And his parents, his family he was from Corsica, the island in the Mediterranean, the same place Napoleon's from. And the family had hidden Jews during World War II. So they were good people. But I don't know if they were Jewish themselves. They probably weren't. But they were good people because they hid Jews in World War II. They hid them from the evil Nazis. And but this Philippe Agenier, I think that was the name, and he says he's got a database that proves there's 38 people who secretly run the world. There's this secret government of 38 people who are giving orders to the Bidens. They're giving orders to the Macrons. They're giving orders to all these people. And all these elected governments are they are under the control of 38 people, exactly, not 37, not 39, 38 people. And honestly, I just find that so tiresome that there's a secret government somewhere, and that Victoria Nuland has to be ordered to do this. She wouldn't be starting World War III. She wouldn't be starting a war with Russia, but she's been ordered. She really can't help it. She can't help it because these 38 people in Geneva are telling her to, and Bill Gates is one of them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know, you know, where this French guy comes from in the 30s. I mean, I'm sure they do have a, you know, they are up there, but it's like they're not focusing on the main picture here. And you know, we know it's, I mean, the WEF itself is run by Jews. You know, is an example of Jewish power.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
I mean, you know, I don't know, you know, where this French guy comes from in the 30s. I mean, I'm sure they do have a, you know, they are up there, but it's like they're not focusing on the main picture here. And you know, we know it's, I mean, the WEF itself is run by Jew, you know, is an example of Jewish power. I'll put it that way. Is an example of Jewish power with the you know, a triple Jew, Israeli homosexual Jew. So I mean, it's WEF, but they always, every time one of these. You know, globalists mentions, you know, China, they always have to jump on it because that's just the easy way out for them to talk about it. But anyway, I don't know if you want to keep dwelling on this, but I'd like to.
I'm going to be at my show on Thursday. There will be more. Filbert and I go into it some. So that's enough for now. But it's just the thing is, I don't know if you heard the show that Jeremy and I did with Brother Nathaniel last week.
Not yet.
Okay. So, like, Brother Nathaniel, I asked him about Chabad Lubavitch. Because, you know, there are people, Adam Green, excuse me, there are people who say that Chabad Lubavitch runs the world. I mean, they run Jewry. And, Brother Nathaniel said, Chabad Lubavitch, they don't have any power. And, you know, the thing, this is what I've been saying. Chabad Lubavitch, they do have their role, but they're not the brains of the Jewish organism. They're the reproductive organs. They're the penis, right?
They do the reproducing.
That's what they are. They do a lot of reproducing.
Von Lubavitch, actually, in my opinion, they're actually considered the most harmless of the Jews, concerning us and the world. They're the ones that just say we want to be separate from the world. That's what we want. We want all Jews to believe they should be separate from the world. So Bob Lubavitch is actually not gonna say that they're on our side, because after all, they still are Jewish. But it's like they're actually the least evil of the Jews. They're actually the best of the Jews, you could say.
Yeah, I mean, I wish them good luck. They are parasitic, but they're parasitic not only on the Goyim, they're also parasitic on other Jews, because they don't work. The men don't work. Very few, some do, but very few. They study.
Are they all in like rabbinical school? Is that what it is?
They're in rabbinical school. The men tend to do a lot of, they're studying the Torah and the Talmud. They're studying the Talmud. I mean, they got weird ideas, but of course, their weird ideas, they didn't invent the weird ideas. The weird ideas have been part of Judaism for thousands of years. They just study them, so they're better informed about the weird ideas that are part and parcel of Judaism.
So where do they get that? Just like donations from rich Jews or something, and donations.
Yeah, they do. They get a lot of support from other Jews.
Obviously, the women don't work, and they have a lot of kids.
Yeah, and also they don't have lavish lifestyles. They live, they tend to be low income. And if you go past a Chabad Lubavitcher's house, there's going to be a lot of toys on the porch. It'll just strewn all over the place. The house is going to be in disrepair.
They're very dirty, too. They're not very clean either. They're very dirty.
Well, they don't keep their houses very neat. That's for sure. So they don't have high lifestyles. They do get, and they're going to be getting a lot of public assistance. You know, they're going to be, they can certainly get all the Obamacare they want. I don't know to what extent they're getting it, but, you know, they could get the free Obamacare. They can get all sorts of food stamps and whatnot, because they tend to be low income, but they reproduce a lot.
Yeah. Anyway, Christmas is in a few days, so I don't want to talk about Jews that much on Christmas.
All right.
Because let's talk about something, more positive, more uplifting, spiritually.
What would that be?
This is a Chinese thing. This is a China-themed show or episode. Around Christmas time, I'm sure the audience is probably somewhat curious to think to know how Christmas is celebrated in China.
How is it celebrated in China?
Okay, so I have this article from ChinaHighlights.com. It's a tourist agency in China. And there's this article called Christmas in China, How It's Celebrated in 2022. Now, the way we Chinese see it, we know Christmas is a Western holiday. It's a European holiday. And because Christianity, we Chinese, we see Christianity as a Western religion. So therefore, Christmas is associated, because it's based on Christianity and it's based on European, ancestral traditions. With the Yule tree and everything, but it's also based on Christianity, so we see that as a Western religion. But nonetheless, we do have our own, when I say we, I'm talking about, my countrymen back home in China. I'm not saying me individually, but how Christmas is celebrated in China. So here's how it's celebrated, 2022. This is what the article says. It says, Christmas has been steadily gaining popularity in Chinese mainland in recent years, though it is not a public holiday here. Outside China's Christian community, its celebrations are not related to religion at all, but this does not stop it becoming a major annual event in major cities of China. Christmas is regarded as a Valentine's Day by many young Chinese people. To stimulate consumption, various promotional activities are held in the shops and shopping malls. Restaurants offer Christmas dinners on Christmas Eve. And interestingly, sending apples as gifts to friends on Christmas Eve is one of the traditions of a Chinese Christmas. Yeah, that's not hard to do. I should probably start sending apples to people I know.
Mm-hmm.
How do most people in China celebrate Christmas? Okay, so how do most people celebrate China? How do most people in China celebrate Christmas?
I don't know.
Has it been a big commercial success in a newly adopted festive tradition? Most people in China do not celebrate as people do in the West. Like many foreign customs that China has absorbed and adapted over the centuries, Christmas has also developed its unique Chinese flair in China. Christmas in China is a Valentine's Day for the young. There is a major feature of Chinese Christmases. In the Chinese mainland, Christmas is becoming another form of Valentine's Day with gifts, confessions, togetherness, sleepless nights. This is a festive atmosphere. Many younger Chinese see it as a romantic holiday for couples to exchange gifts and date. Ice skating and amusement parks are popular spots during the festival. Christmas is the time when men prepare heartwarming gifts to win over their partners, while girls all dress themselves up with a range of new items. Christmas has huge commercial value. For most Chinese without a Christian outlook, this festival is a shopping stunt to stimulate their consumer interest. Merchants follow this trend. Many department stores and shopping malls are decorated with Christmas trees, twinkling lights, and festive decorations, and large promotional activities are held. Santa Claus, or Sun Dan Kuai Le, as we would say in China, is a symbol of giving and Christmas cheer in the West, but he is more of an atmosphere. Let me repeat that sentence. Santa Claus is a symbol of giving and Christmas cheer in the West, but he is more of an atmosphere lifter in China. If you wander around the stores and streets, you'll often see a big, red-suited Father Christmas jamming out on a saxophone. In the traditional culture of China, weddings and funerals and all festivals are usually accompanied by musical instruments aimed to enhance the atmosphere. An apple is a meaningful gift on Christmas Eve. An unusual apple-giving tradition has evolved in China. Pingguo, pingguo sounds like the word peace in Mandarin, which is used in the Chinese Christmas Eve and Carol Silent Night, Ping An Ye, for peaceful evening. So people give and eat apples, particularly on Christmas Eve. Apples are sold with messages printed on the skin in Chinese. Love, love hearts, and peace are popular messages. Parents introduce Western festival and customs to their children. Especially in the big cities, many parents may make a Christmas card with their kids, as well as introduce the culture of Christmas decorations such as Christmas trees, Christmas hats, and Christmas stockings. The whole family may have dinner together at home or outside in a Christmas-inspired restaurant on Christmas Eve. In the evening of Christmas Eve, parents may tell stories about Santa and the happiness of the day with their kids. A Christmas stocking may be hung on the bedside to receive gifts from Santa. Now, how do Chinese Christians celebrate Christmas? China's Christians, only 1% of the population officially, generally celebrate Christmas religiously, sometimes more so than in the West. While Chinese people don't realize that Christmas celebrates the birth of Jesus Christ or attach any religious significance to the foreign festivities, Western festivities, I might say, many of China's Christians celebrate Christmas as the top event of the year, outranking even Chinese New Year, preparing songs and activities weeks before. Christians in China celebrate by going to special church services, which are typically packed to capacity. Oh, but I thought that they were. No, Chinese Christians go to church on Christmas. Yes, they do have church in China. It's not banned. There are Christian churches in China, to a lot of the people who don't know that in the West and that have bought into the Western media lies. Anyway.
I mean, there's been Christianity in China for a long time. It's got even if you want to say 1% of the population are Christians, and that probably means 1% are serious Christians, that 1% of the Chinese population is still 14 million people.
Yeah, right? Still a lot of Christians, yeah.
And Chiang Kai-shek's wife, also Sun Yat-sen's wife, they were sisters to each other, and they were daughters of, I think he was one of the richest people in China. How did he make his fortune? Selling Bibles.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. He sold a lot of Bibles. Somebody made a lot of money selling Bibles in China, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So China, yeah, they're not against Christianity. They love Christianity, but they're against, you know, the West, you know, particularly the CIA, the U.S. government, the U.S. federal government using religion as a front to subvert, you know, liberalism into China. That's what it is. But they're all, you know, there's many churches in China, and there's many big ones too. I'll continue with this. Christians in China celebrate by going to special church services, which are typically packed to capacity. On Christmas Eve, there are choral performances, and the congregation puts on performances. Christmas Eve is called Peaceful Evening, Ping An Ye, from the translation of the carol Silent Night. Carol singing in the streets is rarely seen, though. It's popular in Christians' houses, where the karaoke machine, ever popular in China, may be employed. Christmas is a public holiday in Hong Kong. In Hong Kong, Christmas Day, December 25th, and Boxing Day, December 26th, are both official holidays. And Boxing Day is a British tradition. It is, you know, kind of like our Black Friday. Hong Kong is one of the best places to go for a festive Christmas atmosphere with its two-day public holiday. Hong Kong is known for Christmas, for fantastic Christmas displays, fine food, and Christmas shopping. For more, see Christmas in Hong Kong. The top three Chinese Christmas songs. Apart from English, classic English carols and pop songs, the Chinese songs you are most likely to hear playing are the Chinese versions to the same tunes of We Wish You a Merry Christmas, Silent Night, or Stille Nacht in German, you're saying, and Jingle Bells. Recommended destinations for a Christmas holiday. The end of December is either busy or a winding down period of work for most people in the Chinese mainland before their big winter holidays at Chinese New Year. So, domestic transportation and room rates are lower since it is a tourist low season. Christmas is a good time for traveling in China. China spreads over a vast territory with a large climate variations from north to south and east to west. You can gain different experiences while traveling in different parts over Christmas, such as Harbin's icy wonders and exotic atmosphere, holy Tibet, and warm Yunnan with spring-like scenery. Harbin, a fantastic white Christmas. Harbin is always a top choice for a romantic and beautiful Christmas.
And Harbin is called Manchuria. That's up in
Northeast China. Yeah, it is called the Oriental Moscow and is a wonderful blend of North China culture and European flavors. Plus, the ice festival begins unofficially at Christmas with amazing ice and snow sculptures. Things to do. I don't think anybody listening is planning to go to China anytime soon, so I'll say that. Tibet. Yeah. Christmas roof of the world. In Tibet, if Tibet is on your must-do list before you leave China, Christmas break and the New Year is actually the best time for fewer crowds and unbeatable prizes. Hotels are celebrating Christmas on the roof of the world will bring you an unforgettable experience. Yunnan, a warm/outdoor Christmas. That's in the very, very southern tip of China. Yunnan is a minority area. Have you imagined having a memorable Christmas in a warm, exotic place? The warm subtropical sunshine, the clear dry season skies, and moderate climate mean this region can have even more comfortable in the winter. Yunnan, I guess you could say, is kind of like the Florida of China.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, that's all very interesting. You know, it makes me think, 40 years ago, I was in Japan on Christmas Eve, and I think that custom actually comes from Japan because Christmas Eve was when you're supposed to be with your significant other. You're supposed to spend the evening with your significant other, and they would go roller skating, ice skating, or whatnot. And it's probably that influence, because it's not Western influence, right? I mean, Christmas Eve doesn't have the romance connotations in America. I don't know about Europe, but it did in Japan. So that's probably where that came from.
Now, do they get the day off in Japan, or do you have to work that?
No, it's not a public holiday. It's not a public holiday. Japan, the biggest holiday of the year is New Year's Day, January 1st. They do use the Chinese zodiac calendar, you know, the 12 years of the various animals.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't use the Lunar New Year. I mean, people may know that it's taking place, but they use the solar new year on January 1st. This is kind of an aside, but you were mentioning Harbin in Manchuria, and just recently I was listening to these lectures on Japanese history, and this is something I did not know. But in 1931, Japan carved Manchuria off of the Chinese Empire and set up Manchukuo, right? The puppet state.
Manchukuo. Mm-hmm. Manchukuo.
And
yeah.
What I did not know was that this was done unilaterally by Japan's Kwantung Army, one of their big army divisions or whatever it is, army. They had the Kwantung Army, and it did this without any approval or forewarning in Tokyo. The Japanese government had nothing to do with it. It was the army that did it, and they presented the government with a fait accompli. We've taken over Manchuria.
Although Japan by then pretty much already had an almost exclusively military government.
Well, this in 1931, this was a transitional phase because it had the 20s was a period known as the Taisho democracy. There was this Emperor Taisho who was actually schizophrenic, and so he wasn't very much involved in running the government, but the parliament was. The parliament was very much involved, and there was a lot of stuff going on at that time, and there was a lot of stuff going on in China, and a lot of government officials, you know, some government leaders wanted an open door policy in China. They did not want.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
There was a lot of stuff going on at that time, and there was a lot of stuff going on in China, and a lot of government officials, you know, some government leaders wanted an open door policy in China. They did not want to carve up China into various spheres of influence, Japan having some and France having some. They didn't want that. But the military was more aggressive. And so the military, at least some in the military, wanted to try to take over as much of China as possible, which is a fool's errand. It's a big country. You're not going to be able to take over all of China. And if you did take over all of China, like the Manchurians and the Mongolians found out, you simply get absorbed into China.
You become Chinese yourself.
You become Chinese yourself, right?
Over a few generations, but yeah, you become Chinese yourself.
You become Chinese yourself. So it's a fool's errand. But at any rate, in the very early 1930s, you had a lot of assassinations. You had a couple of prime ministers assassinated right at that time, right in the late 1931, more or less. And so the politicians were becoming very leery because not just prime ministers were being shot, but a lot of people were being shot. And so there was undergoing this transition to militarism. And so you had at that point the fact that you had the army in China take over and create a huge new country, Manchukuo, from Chinese territory, and just presented as a fait accompli to the Japanese government. You know, that was an example of what was going on. And within a few years, the military was effectively ruling Japan. Anyway, we're getting up close to the end of the show. Do you have any thoughts while we're still here?
Well, I mean, any Christmas wishes, or like anything you wish for Christmas? Not that it has to be fulfilled, or not that it would be fulfilled. I know I have a bunch that won't be, but any.
Yeah, I want a pair of Kevin Durant basketball shoes with plantar fasciitis inserts in them.
Oh, for me, I was going to say something like, and you know, some of it might get fulfilled, just maybe not right away. I want, number one, Russia to win the war in the Ukraine.
Oh, that's good.
Number two, I want China to continue to become even more prosperous. It's already very prosperous, but I want it to be even more prosperous and show an example to the world of how things could be. And number three, I do want the demise of the American Empire so that the people and the world may survive. The American people,
okay,
and the entire world.
Well, I was just going to say, okay, finish your list.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, let's hope that you've been nice and not naughty, and so Santa brings you your presents.
Yeah, well, I've done my best, and I want to say this too. I want all the Chinese restaurants on Christmas Day to close, and hell, I want all restaurants of all non-Western ethnicities to close, non-Western cuisines to close, so that the Jews have nowhere to eat on Christmas Day. That's what
What about the lady who spoils her Christmas turkey? Where is she going to eat?
Well, okay. And there's an exception. Well, non heavily Jewish populated areas, they can stay open. But all the Chinese restaurants in New York City and L.A., how's that?
All right.
And Miami.
And Miami.
Yeah, New York, L.A., Miami.
Okay.
All the restaurants there in New York. America, do whatever they want then. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Chinatown, my Chinatown, where the lights are low. Hearts that know no other lands, drifting to and fro. Dreamy, dreamy Chinatown. Always night so bright. Night seems light and life seems bright in dreamy Chinatown.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
This is RBN.
The Republic Broadcasting Network.